know what they believe and why they believe what they believe. It's not right because you're told it's right. I mean, what parent doesn't realize their children are going to question when they get older? Amen?
Right.
And as you grow in the Lord, you're going to begin to question a preacher. Every right to question a preacher. He's not right because he's a preacher. It always will come down to final authority. Critical. Next week we'll try to drive that home further as far as just on a manuscript level. Amen. The lines, and it can't be really argued of there being two lines. It's just the conclusion. Has one been brought to a point where it's perfect and pure, or is the process still continuing? That's really what it comes down to. And it's not anything I'm particularly divisive over. We just have a statement in our faith. You have to have a final authority. So we have a statement in our church constitution. You have to have a final authority, or you'll get people in here, you'll have everything. You can do anything. Mm-hmm. But there's reasons why that's part of the constitution. That's what I want you to get a hold of. Now, we're going to turn to the book of, let's look in the book of Genesis. We'll look at some verses and understand some things. Maybe we'll begin in prayer. Father, please bless your word. We go through another study in this service. We pray that you would help us reflect historically upon this person in the Bible that would be used by Jesus himself to try to teach us and edify us and encourage us in the last days. Help us to learn some things that are applicable in the day and age we live in. Christ's name, amen. If I were to ask you, two people, that Jesus Christ identifies by name as an indication of what to expect in the last days before he returns. Anybody give me two people he would use?
John.
That Jesus Christ said these two people are going to be signs of what the last days are like. I mean, word it like that.
Elijah.
Who?
Elijah.
Elijah.
And Moses.
And Moses as signs. He uses them particularly as signs of the last days.
Noah and Lot.
That's who he uses. Amen. He was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Moses and Elijah were there. But the two people he uses are Lot and Noah. Mm-hmm. Lot and Noah. Jesus Christ. That's what to expect. Amen. Mm-hmm. And very important to recognize that. Now we're going to look in Genesis chapter 8. As a matter of fact, let me read you that verse in Luke where he says that. It's in Luke chapter 17. I'll read you that passage. So we want to look. We want to understand this. We're going to look at Noah, and we're going to see things about him. But it's pretty clear they both overlap with certain things that are similar, but one had a greater emphasis on the breakdown of society on a global scale, which is typified by the area they lived in, with Lot. With Noah, it was the entire world. But you recognize that during the time of Lot, it involved sodomy. Amen. It's hard to argue. You're not supposed to talk about, the Bible talks about them. Amen. You don't need to go into any type of graphic detail. You have enough awareness and understanding as you grow up. To recognize, there is an honorable and a dishonorable way to use your body in when it pertains to interacting with, a male and a female. And a male and a male is called unnatural. A female and a female is called unnatural. It's not a matter of arguing whether or not it says that in the Bible, because it does. If you don't believe the Bible, then anything, but it doesn't matter. Amen. People have a problem because you believe the Bible. Okay. And that's what I want you to see. Because that's the problem both Noah and Lot have. I always had a hard time with Lot, because the Bible says he was a righteous man. He vexed his soul. And righteousness was attributed to him because of his faith. But Noah is also called a righteous man. Yeah. Noah is called a righteous man because of his walk. And there's a difference. Don't be satisfied with just having the righteousness of God because of your faith. You want it to involve your walk. Am I right, brethren? I mean, Samson was a saved man. Didn't Samson go to heaven? Wasn't he in the heroes of the faith? Was Samson in the heroes of the faith because, he was messing around with Delilah and screwing around with his, his gifts that God gave him, or because he finally got to the point where he was willing to die for what he believed in? And he did. Oh, Rahab was in the heroes of the faith. She was a woman that was, you know, ran a harlot's house. Was Rahab in the heroes of the faith because she was a woman that ran a harlot's house? Or she got so sick of it, she dissed it and ended up trusting the God of the Jews and was no longer a harlot?
Amen.
That's why they're in the heroes of the faith. Amen? So don't get caught up in this concept of, well, you're going to heaven, that's good enough. It won't be good enough when you get there. Well, it'll be good enough you're in heaven. It won't be good enough when you recognize your accountability to God is something that you'll be ashamed you didn't take advantage of. At least a little bit more than you did. We all will, amen? So the idea is maybe let's get a little bit more than we do, amen, in our faith and what it produces. But Jesus said this in Luke 17. Let me read that to you. Turn to Genesis chapter 8. In Luke 17, he says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. So he's pointing you to that. They did eat, and he's beginning to describe it. They're oblivious. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. All of a sudden, that caught their attention. Noah stepped in an ark. Got in the ark. That was different. And we're going to see, for 120 years, he labored by faith, preparing an ark so that he could be saved from the condemnation of the world, the judgment God had on the world. 120 years. But the day he got in the ark, it's like, well, something was different. And they knew it. They knew it. Something was different. So it caught their attention until the day that Noah entered into the ark. The music stopped. Okay? Then the Bible says, and the flood came. Now all of a sudden, it didn't just catch their attention, it brought condemnation. Because all of a sudden, they realized it was true. That's frightening to me when I think about this. Frightening. This is Jesus Christ is bringing this out. The day and age we live in, they're going to eat, they're going to drink, and they're going to go, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that. And the same thing he's saying with Lot. And then all of a sudden, you're going to find out it's true. Now Noah made that same discovery. But on the believing side of it's true, instead of the unbelieving side. And what was the believing versus the unbelieving side? He got in the ark. Amen. The ark couldn't save him unless he got in the ark.
That's right.
And I'll tell you something else. The ark couldn't save him when he got in the ark unless God was in the ark. And he was. So let's begin to look at this. Turn to the book of Genesis chapter number 8. And you're going to see that he knew something. Noah knew us something. We want to know, what did Noah know? And I'm going to show you what Noah knew in Genesis chapter number 8. It's the only one time the Bible says that.
Noah knew?
Noah knew. It's in Genesis 8.
I want to see that.
You see it right here. Genesis 8 verse 1. And God remembered Noah. You think it's because he forgot that Noah existed?
No.
No, that there were other things he was dealing with in the midst of dealing with Noah, but there were other things he was focused on that was bringing to pass in the midst of this flood that nobody else has any idea of. The whole scenario lasted for over a year. That's a long time. And so the Bible says, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark, and God made a wind to pass over the earth. And the waters assuaged. That's just a beautiful word. It assuaged. It just began to decline. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped. Some people don't teach that God actually opened the windows to heaven and there was water that came down. Not just a global canopy. There were actual waters. That's what I teach. Because that's taking the Bible literally for what it says. He opened up the windows of heaven. Amen. In other words, there's water in outer space. And so that's what I teach. I don't teach there's enough water on this planet to cover the highest mountain 15 cubits above. No, sir. And God made a wind. Okay, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped and the rain from heaven was restrained. That was after 40 days and 40 nights of raining. And the waters returned from off the earth continually. And after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated, so they were brought down. Okay? And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. So finally, come. You know what Noah's name means? Rest. His name means. Amen. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat, somewhere in the area of Turkey. People believe they've found it. They believe it's buried under ice that's over there, and they're not allowed to go, archaeologists to go dig it up. It's right in between, you know, different warring tribes of people and countries, and as well as dealing with a very short perimeter of time with seasons. It's just frozen over there. But they believe they've spotted it through, GPS and all this pictures they've taken. I wouldn't doubt if they discover it before Christ comes back. Amen. Because Peter talks about it. 2 Peter and 1 Peter. Anyways, and the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. And the 10th month on the first day of the month were the tops of the mountains seen. So the water's constantly going down. Now, eventually, the tops of the mountains can be seen. But there's still what? Water seeks the lowest level. So before water could flood this room, it's got to flood the parking lot. Before it floods the parking lot, it's got to flood that little valley, you know, that dip down in the back over there. They call it a rain garden in the back of this building. Before it floods that, it's going to run there. It's going to soak. It's going to flood. That's wetlands, right? The property next to us, which drops down about 10, 12 feet. That's all got to get filled before it fills that back rain garden, before it fills the parking lot, before it starts. Water seeks the lowest. So you're talking about massive amounts of water rapidly. See, to actually flood the entire planet, you're in 40 days and 40 nights, you are talking about pounding rain. And so, and he sent forth, now here, he opens the window of the ark, which he had made. So there's a window around the ark. He opens it up so he can see it. Look out. The only way you could see out of the ark was looking up before you look out. Looking up, you got to look up before you could see out. See what God, whatever God would have you to see. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. He sent forth a raven. Now you're going to see here a raven and a dove, one typifying the unclean bird, the other one the clean bird. Amen. And he sent forth a raven. It has to do with what they eat and how they are, and even the sinister look of a raven. I mean, they just look at you. You know what I mean? He sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro. Now, who else runs to and fro in the Bible? Back and forth to the earth, to and fro. Satan. Runs to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. So the raven, he lets out of the ark, and it's able to fly around because it could put its feet on a floating piece of wood or debris or, you know, something that was built back then that's just now on top of a, sit on a mountain, could feed off of carcasses. So it could survive. And he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, a different type of creature. And she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. So he takes her back in. And he stayed yet other 7 days. And again, so he said the ark finally settles. It's on this mountain. Water's still going down. Opens the window, sends out a raven and a dove. The raven doesn't come back. The dove does. Now he sends back this dove, sends the dove out again. He stayed yet other 7 days and again sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came into him in the evening. Now who's the dove the type of? The Holy Spirit. And lo, in her mouth was a what? An olive leaf. And you'll find when you run through the Bible that olive leaf holds true as the promises of God. See? We're on friendly terms. Today, if you have a problem with somebody, they say, why don't you just give them an olive leaf? It's a cliche. It talks about, you know, something that shows, you know, bygones be God, bygones were friends, you know, and I promise to be, you know, not badmouth you, be true to you, so on and so forth. And that has to do with the olive branch, has to do with the promises of God in Romans 11. He says he plucked it off, so Noah knew, right here. Mm-hmm. Noah knew. He said, doesn't say, that's just the way I talk, okay? Noah knew's in the Bible. I'm adding the just because, you know, it's the Italian way of saying it. Noah knew. Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. So he knew this. And I want to look, what did Noah know? Because I want to know what's going through his mind at this point in time. he knew something. It's the first time it ever says he knew something. And as a matter of fact, it's the only time. He got a hold of some things at this point in time. And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. What he knew, essentially, this whole thing is true. And it began to come together to him. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark. Now, that might be the window coverings all around the entire perimeter, or might have included the door, opening it up. And looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. And he stays in the ark. And in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, he ain't doing nothing till God tells him to. Was the earth dried? And God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons with wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh. Now, prior to this, everything outside of the ark, he says all flesh would die. Here it's not. It's coming out of the ark. It's still flesh. It's sanctified. And Jesus Christ said, God has given me power over all flesh. So he said, bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and he be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Now, I want to catch myself not being too long, so we want to try to get through this. Noah knew something. What did Noah know? And I want to look at this, because there is the big scientific argument of whether or not, you know, the historical validity of Noah is true. Well, if you believe in the historical validity of Jesus, then you have to believe in the historical validity of Noah. You really don't have a choice. He's Lord, liar, or lunatic. I believe he's Lord. And I believe everybody who doesn't believe he's Lord is a liar and a lunatic. And one of the ways you know it is they don't believe that Noah was true. They believe it's just a myth. It belongs in the Mother Goose category of, you know, literature when you read and tell your kid to go to bed. Amen? If it were true, you would expect it to be in Jesus' genealogy, because at the time of Noah, everybody dies except Noah and his family. So in an odd, strange way, all of us either came from Ham, Shem, or Japheth. All three of us, because those were the three sons of Noah that he was told to replenish the earth through. So all of us, to some extent, will find ourselves kindred there. Just how far back you go, it shows how close you are, amen? And so Jesus Christ is in the lineage of Noah in the Gospel of Luke's chronology of his genealogy. And what you always want to remember is nobody can ever prove scientifically their belief on origins. Nobody can, because nobody was around to prove it. And you can't demonstrate it. Anybody's belief when it comes to how we got here and who we are and all that kind of business is based on faith. Everybody's is. There is a premise and a maxim that science has that Peter warns us about. It says, the present is key to the past, only to a certain point in time. Because if things continue today as they always were in the past, then the present is key to the past. But if something happened to the past that isn't in existent today the same way, then at that point in time, you can no longer hold true to that maxim. And what I'm suggesting to you, that the Bible's depiction of the past has an event that took place that no longer is happening anymore. I can't prove to you scientifically it happened, but everything scientific is proof that it did happen. The Bible talks about a flood that struck over this entire world. And the evidences of it scientifically are, they're huge. Even today, we all, just in our gut, get some sort of peace and comfort, serenity over a rainbow. Well, that doesn't prove anything. I know that. But that's what God gave as a sign to Noah, that he would destroy the world again by a flood. We have no idea where that comes from. Because if we all came from Noah, then they knew that. Noah knew that. And he passed it on to his kids, who passed it on to his kids, who passed it on to his. And eventually got to Moses, who put it in writing. But at one point in time, it was told by word of mouth. It's in you. Somebody told you it was true, because it is true. Well, that's not scientific. I got it. The entire planet we live on is covered in what's called sedimentary rock. You know what sedimentary rock is? You look it up in any dictionary. It's rock that's deposited, sand that's deposited from water. The world was covered in water. Amen, Brother John. Amen. I mean, that's just, science never disproves the Bible. That's the proof of it. I'm just showing you there's scientific validity to it. Amen. All the mountains of the world, on every continent of the world, have marine fossils near the summit. Shells. Fossils of marine creatures. Why? Where do they come from? Nobody can explain it. Fossils require rapid cataclysmic burial. It's not happening today. Where's all the fossil fuel? They call it fossil fuel. What's it come from? At one time, living beings, creatures, vegetation. Where did it come from? It's all over the world. Every continent has oil. We, you know, Saudi Arabia, America's got just as much, if not more. Amen?
Yeah.
It's in Alaska. It's in the Antarctic. It's just getting to it. It's all over the world. Why are woolly mammoths in Siberia in temperatures that they can't exist in today? They got woolly mammoths on every continent. They got woolly mammoths by the millions. There's evidence that they existed in Siberia and Alaska. Why? How could they survive? Those are big creatures. What are they eating? They find frozen creatures. How do you freeze instantaneously? What kind of temperatures? They find animals embedded in fossil that still have soft tissue when they're discovered. Or they find creatures that are embedded in fossil layers with other creatures embedded in fossil layers. You know, they call them ossiferous fissures. There's all the graveyards. You know, you have water that buries everything. When it settles, what happens to all the blood? They go. That's exactly what you find, graveyards of animals and creatures. Amen? You've got, like I said, you know, little fishies in the mountains, mammoths and whales, 400 and 600 feet above sea level. How'd they get there? And somebody, what brought them there? Amen? Huge boulders moved by massive amounts of water, 50-ton boulders. How'd they get there? Amen? I mean, well, are they erratic? Is it random? Yeah, well, you can say whatever you want, but how'd they get there? Amen? There's so much evidence throughout. You just go on and on and on. There's evidence that there was a cataclysmic event. There's polystrata fossils, you know, dead creatures buried in between layers of rock and sediment or trees that are supposed to be tens of thousands of years old in between the layers. Well, the creature didn't live that long. Amen? So how did that happen? You've got just so much stuff that's pointing. You've got human footprints in the same strata of what would be considered dinosaur footprint. How do you get that when we weren't supposed to be alive? Too many questions. Christians just allow science to ask us questions. Ask science questions. Amen? Because they don't have the answers. It's based on faith. That's all. We're on equal ground. I believe the Bible by faith. It's just that science can't disprove it unless you're allowing your faith in a science to disprove it, because there are no dating techniques that are scientific but beyond a point in time that it has events that existed that aren't continuing today. That's science. Science, falsely so-called, will use its faith, not believing the Bible, to try to say the Bible's wrong. Now, we're talking about this man called Noah. What did Noah know of? What did he know? And you look at this, you're looking at some 1,500 plus years since the time of Adam. And when you read, you could jump back to Genesis chapter 6. Because it says in Genesis chapter number 6, verse 2, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair. Now, you know in the Bible, the sons of God are what?
Angels.
They're angels. Sons of God saw the... They're leaving the spiritual world, and compromising the integrity of what God commanded them when it came to interacting with humans. And they're crossing a line, and they're having cohabiting with human beings. And when you study through Genesis chapter 6, which we won't kind of get into a deep study, but what you've got is genetic engineering taking place. Jesus said, like in the days of Noah, it would be in the days of the Son of Man. Genetic engineering. They're trying to make a superhuman race. Mm-hmm. This is where all the Greek mythology comes in with the gods. You know, Hercules is a man god resulting from the cohabitation of one of the gods in the outer space, interacting and having sexual relations with a woman he found attractive on Earth, giving birth to Mr. Hercules. Amen? That's Genesis. See? You know, legends and myths are based on certain elements that are true. Every lie is based on a truth twisted. Every lie that has any substance of attracting truth to it. But you got the sons of God saw the daughters of men. They took them wives, which they chose. And the Lord said this, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I want you to see this, because God is striving with him. And he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So at this point in time, the Bible says God was the long-suffering of God while Noah was preparing the ark. Turns out to be 120 years. He's upset at what he sees. Verse 4, there were giants in the earth in those days. You believe in giants? Yes, I do. You don't? That's your choice. There's plenty of evidence for them. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children, they were superhuman. The same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. God saw the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that their imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. So they're getting into this virtual world of reality. That's what they're getting into. The imaginations of the thoughts of the heart was only... We are there, brother, where there's cohabitation with machines, animals, and calling on to the alien world of spirits. That's where we're at, amen? Trying to genetically engineer superhuman beings. And virtual reality, that's what this is. The imaginations of the thoughts of their heart are only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him. So he had a change of heart from what it was earlier in Genesis when he created man. Everything was good. Now look at it. Look at the result of what people will do when they drift from God. They don't believe the Bible. You'll find any society that, even if they don't believe the Bible, but they obey its precepts, because they don't know the Bible. If they're obeying precepts, God honors that society. You'll find people with happier marriages than Christians because they're obeying Bible precepts when it comes to family and marriage. And a Christian that knows and believes the Bible but doesn't obey it, they have God's honoring his word. Amen? But now look what he says this. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and the fowls there, for repent of me that I have made man. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Yeah. See that? He found grace. Now pick it up in verse 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. This is the depiction of the world, this virtual reality, this sexual perversion, this violent, evil, wicked world. That's the day and age of Noah. He said, that's what you should expect to see before I come back. What's that? You're going to see it. We're watching that today. And so he says, God looked upon the earth. Behold, it was corrupt. All flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. For the earth, see, all flesh gets judged. But God still says there's all flesh that's in the ark that I'm going to, it's sanctified. For the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now what you've got here is something that is, what did Noah know? He looks back, he sees, when he's going to walk out of that ark, there isn't going to be another human being on the entire planet. You know what Noah knew? I'll tell you what he knew. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. Because this is important for you and I. And this will make you understand why the world hates Christianity. It doesn't just not like it or agree with it. It hates and despises it. Because do you realize if what you and I profess to believe is true, Do you know that what that means about the rest of the world, what they believe? It's a lie.
Yeah.
Our faith condemns the world. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. I've always wondered about this. There's perversion, there's greed, there's violence. They're celebrating immorality. Hebrews chapter number 11, when God talks about Noah, he condenses chapter 6 through 8 of Genesis into this one verse. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Had Noah ever seen rain?
No.
Never rained. He's moving and acting upon faith based on something that he's never seen. This is the word of God. It's you and I. Anybody here ever see heaven? Ever see hell? Anybody ever see a cherubim? An angel? We haven't, have we? See the empty tomb with your eyes? We haven't, have we? We're reading about people that said they did. See? He invests. Here's a man that is of somewhat of reputation. Got to be a strong man. He's got, you know, look at that Noah. What a fool. What's he doing for 120 years? God told him what to do. The Bible says he moved, prepared the ark to the saving of the house. He moved with fear, it says in 2 Peter. Prepared an ark. Why would he do that? God told him to. He said, I'm sending a flood. What in the world's a flood? Everything's just going to keep going. Like, the stocks are going to go up, they're going to go back down. Stocks are going to go up, they're going to go back down. People are going to marry, they're going to get married, this is going to happen, this is going to happen. Save for retirement, do this, live for this, live for this. What about now? He didn't live for now. He lived in now. But he also recognized now is going to pass. This too shall pass. And God's word is going to come to pass. A flood is coming. He wasn't told when it was coming. How long necessarily. God said, my spirit shall not strive with man. 120 years. God is going to strive. I don't, well, you correct me if I'm wrong. Did he tell Noah that it was going to be 120 years?
No.
But God said that to himself. Noah didn't know exactly when the flood was going to come. All he knew is it was going to come. Try to pick this. Here's a, you know, full-headed man, you know, strong, 600 years old, and he's cutting down trees and so on and so forth. And the only people that followed him, he's got to be employing other people. This is a huge endeavor that he's being asked and challenged to put his faith in. Never rained. He builds his house on this ark. All it is a bark. A box. That he brings dogs and they bark in, amen? And bark on the outside because it's made of wood. There's bark there somewhere, amen? But he does all of this, and what it looks like is a giant coffin.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. Giant coffin. And he's making this and he's building this, and everybody around him, they're snickering at him. They're laughing at him. Stupid Noah. Look, it's not even in the dictionary. Look, it's not in our dictionary. It is in Noah's dictionary. Look at Noah Webster's dictionary. You know, it's in Noah's dictionary. But in his dictionary, by faith, it's going to rain. Amen. It's going to rain, brother. So he appears. He's doing this. He's building this. And the Bible says, by the which he condemned the world. Your faith, my faith, if what we believe is true, is in fact true, condemns the world. What did Noah know? My God, it's true. He's going to open the windows, put down the door, and there isn't another living human being all around. He condemned the world. What was he? He wasn't just, you know, working for retirement. He was investing for eternity. He saw the pleasures of sin and what it offered. He also recognized the joy of the Lord. And he said, D.L. Moody says, I'm only one, but I am one. You're looking at one man with a family that nobody had. Imagine going to his local church. 8 people. That's it. Yeah, but you can go down the street and there's a local church. The local church down the street had nobody in it. Local church down the street had nobody. Can you imagine that? You're looking at this, and he has 8 people in his local church, and he's watching the world decay, 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 decay. Thomas Jefferson said, talking about the liberties of a nation. Can liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift from God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. You can't get caught in this, brethren. It's all going to just keep continuing. You can't kill millions of babies every year. You can't get drunken stupored in celebrations every day throughout the year, all around America and around the world. You can't blaspheme God's name, make laws against Christianity, mock Christians, you know, persecute and threaten to kill them or throw them. You can't do that, and God's not going to someday judge. Our faith, because of the long-suffering of God, is condemning the world. His faith condemned the world. What we believe, this, what did Noah know? That if what we believe is true, my loved ones that don't get in the ark are going to be flooded and drowned in God's judgment. The people I work with, many of them that I like, I work with them. They help me make money. I help them make money. We eat together. We laugh together. If they don't get in the ark, they're condemned. See? My neighbors that I see all the time and I'm nice to and I'm kind to and I try to be a testimony to, but oftentimes I'm too afraid to really witness about Jesus Christ. If they don't get in the ark, you know what's going to happen to them? See, this was, what did Noah know? His faith was a condemnation. He knew that what he believed, if it was true, was a condemnation to anybody that didn't believe it, didn't agree with it. And he moved with fear. That, it frightens me to think of the reality that people that don't believe in Jesus Christ, there's only one way. There weren't many doors on this ark. How many doors were there?
One.
There was one, and only one. An unavoidable, unmistakable accountability. That God's wrath is not impulsive, it's not random, it's not, you know, just venting anger. It's righteous, and it's based on years and years and years of striving with man and long-suffering. And we cannot be caught in the world the way it thinks today. It's just going to keep going. It's not going to just keep going. Jesus is coming back. And he uses Noah as an indication. The days of Noah, I realize there's 7 years before the rapture takes place and the tribulation ends with Christ coming back and all. I realize the significance of Noah. But brother, 7 years is just a small block of time. If you think we're not going to see the world being shaped, when Noah built this ark, here's the next, not just Noah knew it, that his faith condemned the world. Noah knew it, that God's grace would save him from the world and nothing else. Your faith can't save you if God's grace doesn't intervene. You need God's grace. You can't live the Christian life without God's grace.
That's right.
You can't. For by grace are you saved. This is the wonderful thing about grace that I don't think Christians really grasp. Faith accesses grace. God's always working in our behalf. But faith allows you to access it. When your faith moves in obedience, God allows you to access grace to begin to see certain things. Because you know what Noah began to see? Well, here's an interview with Noah. Not just if what we believe is true, our faith condemns the world. If what we believe is true, God's grace saves us from the world. The Bible says that God saved Noah, the eighth person, from the judgment he was getting ready to take place on the world. You see, the messages of the cross isn't just condemnation to unbelief. It's salvation to those that believe. He recognized he wasn't just escaping judgment. He was stepping into redemption. Brother, we're saved from wrath to come. Faith accesses grace. The Bible says by faith we access this grace wherein we stand. Grace is made available to all, but it's not available by all because you need faith to access grace. For by grace are you saved through faith and not that of yourself. Here's an interview with Noah. What did Noah know? It's going to be by grace. Now look at this. How are you going to control the boat, Noah? Where's the rudder? I don't know. I can't control this thing. I'm just going to get in it. That's all I'm going to do. Okay. You know what would happen if he controlled the boat? I think he would have crashed it, don't you?
Yeah.
You see, it's great. Grace is what saved him. Hey, Noah, where's the anchor? I don't know. There is no anchor. What did Noah know? Nothing. But grace. Grace is going to steer him through this thing. Grace is what's going to anchor him. Why did that thing not tip over? See, most people build a boat. You want to build it where it's shaped and it could carve through the water and it's got a nice rudder. You could steer. Here comes a giant tsunami wave. He just built a giant box. All it could do was float. That's all it could do. Move over here. Move over here. That's all it could do. It was totally out of his control. Where's the anchor? Didn't have an anchor. What's going to stop this thing? Grace. God's going to tell me when to stop. By faith, God's going to show me when to open this door. How are you going to get into? How are you going to shut the door? You're on the inside of me. God's going to shut. The Bible said God shut him in. What about the Bible says he pitched it on the inside and the out. Pitch it. It's a seal. You in the ark. You sealed. I'm not saying they didn't fall down in the ark. You could fall down in the ark, brethren. We can all fall at times. But you're in the ark. You're sealed. It's falling outside of the. I mean, I go on a boat. I'm gonna. You know, waves start getting like this. I got to eat that amidin, whatever that word is. I got to eat those pills. Amen. Or I'm gonna, you know, topple over, fall down. You're in the ark. You could fall, but you're saved because you're sealed. The ark is sealed with pitch on the inside, as well as on the out. Amen. That door is shut. You can't escape. Hey, Noah, where are you going? What about a map, Noah? Where's your map? I have no idea where I'm going, except heaven. Don't know how to get there, except I'm in the ark. I have no idea where God's going to bring my life tomorrow. I'll tell you right now, nobody in here knows who they're going to meet tomorrow in your journey, in this pilgrimage. You're going to meet somebody. Out of nowhere, someday you're going to meet a guy that's going to be your husband, a girl that's going to be your wife, and you didn't plan it. Amen? It's just going to happen. Amen? How long are you going to be in the ark, Noah? I don't know. What did Noah know? Great. Noah found grace. Grace, you got that? Check. Grace, you got the map? Check. Hey, Grace, you got the rudder? Check. Hey, Grace, you got the... Check. Great, I got grace. That's all I know. That's in my Christian life. The older I get, that's all I know, brother. I got grace. How long are you going to live? Have no idea. Except forever. Hey, Noah. Come on, Noah. You're not a zoo. How are you going to get all the animals? How are you going to fit all the animals in the ark? Everybody always asks, how do you get all the animals in the ark? How many animals were there? Nobody knows. Well, how big's the ark? Most people that ask that question have no idea. Amen. So how do you know he couldn't get all the animals in the ark? Noah knew God could get all the animals in the ark because God brought the animals to Noah. Well, that's not scientific. I think we call it hibernation and migration. You can explain it any way you want. It's an intuitive knowledge for survival that animals still do it not to survive anymore because they don't need to. 2016, you don't got to hibernate anymore. Especially with global warming. Who's going to bring the animals? I don't know. Do you see what I'm telling you, brethren? It's all grace. Noah found grace. What did Noah know? Noah knew that his faith, if it was true, was condemning the world. Noah knew his faith, if it was true, that he needed God's grace to see it through. He wasn't going to get through this flood without God's grace. Got an emergency plan B, Noah? I don't know about you, brethren, but if Jesus Christ isn't true, I ain't got an emergency plan B. Paul said, if it ain't, might as well eat, drink, and be merry. You know why? Because tomorrow you die. Go do whatever you want to do and enjoy it, because you're just going to die. Simon Peter said, well, Lord, where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We got plan A. Guess what? You don't need plan B. Amen? Amen, brother. A is right in the center of grace. Hey, Grace, got it covered? Yep. Amen. You go on and on and on. You ever see rain, Noah? Never saw rain. Grace did. Amen. Grace saw God's rain through the rain that he's going to judge this world, and he's going to come back and rain in a different way. You know the last words Paul uses when he writes to the church? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. You can't control it. You can't do anything for it. You can't understand the depth of it. All you can do is receive it and access it by faith. And when you do, you know what Noah knew. God's got his hand on your life. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?
Amen.
He's working in your life. You're doing this. You don't even know. How does this come together? Who knows if Noah got upset a few 120 years? I'm sick of this. This is stupid. 119 years and 364 days. This is, of course, what began to happen is gradually animals began to come. Where are they coming from? They're going right near the ark. They're looking at them. They're having babies. Something happened in the atmosphere. There's kind of a humidity in the air. The clouds are taking on a different shape. Vegetation is growing in abundance. What's taking place? What's going on? And everybody's just marrying, giving them marriage, until Noah went in the ark. He went in the ark, and something began to catch their attention. 7 days he was in the ark before the water from the sky. And I'll guarantee you, that water began coming down. I will guarantee you, people began knocking on that ark. People began bringing axes to try to chop that door down. And you can't make it open, because he's got the key to the door that no man can open and no man can close. Jesus Christ is the only way in. Amen? And once you're in him. You're sealed forever. But I'll guarantee you, there were windows around there, and they could hear people screaming and crying. And that he, Noah, knew. My God, I got the truth. They're condemned because of what I believe. And the only way I'm saved is by the grace of God.
Amen.
Because this is out of my control. I just trust him. And I'm telling you the sensitivity that I have in my personal life as I get older in the Lord is that I look at my life and I say, man, I've been saved for 35 years. I've invested my life in it being true. I've invested everything in my life. My kids have been affected from it. My marriage has been affected from it. Everything about my life, I believe it's true. I've invested my life in the word of God being true. And I've seen the process of this investment that he's taken care of me the whole way. He's going to continue to take care of me. And the reaping of it eternally, you can't know or see apart from grace. Grace opens your eyes not just to the present tense taking care of you, but what you're hoping for in the end, the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God, the Lord of glory. Who's without grace, without measure, Jesus Christ. We're going to meet him someday. Say, how do you know that? Grace. Is it so? God will bear witness in your heart, brethren. Noah knew that his faith condemned the world. As the time goes on, you begin to recognize it appears as if God's people are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And God's people become aware that what's in the world is more and more tempting. Because the world en masse is bombarding you with, what are you doing that? That looks stupid. Why don't you do this one? And yet God's word never changes. And I look and I realize, you say, Moses only had 8 people with him. Yeah, but when you look at the genealogy of Moses, before it rained, they say it showers. Go to Moses' baby shower. And you're going to find Mrs. Methuselah there, Mrs. Lamech there. Mrs., Enoch there. You're going to find a bunch of people that were alive before the flood during Noah's life that gave testimony. It's true. It's true. And they're all saying the same thing about God's word. You're talking about hundreds of years. He's 600 years old before the flood comes. He's got a living testimony of other people that are still alive. I want you to look at the last thing Noah knew. Noah, the Bible says he walked with God. He walked with God. And in 1 Peter, the Bible said this is the difference between Noah and Lot. They were both righteous in the eyes of God by faith, but Noah walked with God. He understood a righteousness differently than Lot. And he understood resting is where walking with God leads you. I kid you not. I'm not preaching. I have peace. The world around me is going to hell. Jesus Christ is coming back. Whether other Christians join in, the emerging church, the last day charismatic counterfeit revival, could do whatever it wants to do. Jesus Christ is coming back. I know during that the days we live in are going to be just like Noah and Lot heading that direction. And I have complete peace. Resting is where walking with God leads you in this world. Your faith condemns the world. God's grace saves you out of the world. Don't ask me how. But I access it every day as I trust him. And resting is where walking with God leads you in this world. You have peace in the midst of the storm. It says in 1 Peter 3:20, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Do you know the Chinese word with hieroglyphics? They use a depiction of a boat with eight people in it to depict the word flood. Why do they do that? Because the world knows. The testimony is out there, brethren. The Bible says Noah, while the ark, every continent, every culture in history in antiquity has the story of a worldwide flood. Wherein the few, that is eight souls, were saved by water of the light. He says this is a figure. What happened with Noah is a figure. Whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What happened with Noah was a testimony, brethren, of what takes place in the Christian life. Here's the rest. Noah knew it. Resting is where walking leads you in this world. If you're walking with God in this world, he's going to give you peace. And let me show you this. Because what day, I'm back in Genesis, we'll close it. Looking back in Genesis chapter number 8. What day did the ark rest? And the ark is just a box. It's like a coffin. When he stepped out of that ark, it was like stepping out of a coffin. What day did it rest? In Genesis chapter number 8. This is a figure, the Bible says in Genesis 3. He had no idea that it was depicting resting in Jesus Christ, sealed in Jesus Christ. Genesis chapter number 8, he said in verse number 4, and the ark rested in the seventh month. Now later on, God delivers Israel in the seventh month, and he says, this is no longer the seventh month. Now it's the first month. And on the first month, on the 14th day, the Jews were told to kill a lamb. To kill a lamb. And then they would be delivered from the death angel, driven by Egypt, out of Egypt. And he said, for 3 days, we want 3 days in the wilderness, we're going to worship God. 3 days later was the 17th day of the first month. That wasn't the first month until Moses. Here it was called the seventh month. It changed. Its name became Nisan. I don't want to get... That's in Exodus 12. You can read that. He changes the month. The seventh month became the first month. The 14th day of that month, there was a sacrifice of a lamb. 3 days later, they're crossing the Red Sea. And what you're seeing here is rested in the seventh month on the 17th day, not on the 14th day. Jesus Christ is crucified. He's called our Passover lamb. On what day of the month? The 14th day. He resurrects on what day of the month? 3 days later. This is the very day that Christ resurrects. You see, resting in where you're walking with God in this world leads you to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This ark rested on that. Now, he's not in control of any of this. And so over a period of a year, the waters are moving and God's shaping the world. And in the process of this, he's making, carving a mountain. And carving this mountain, not just the Grand Canyon and all these things that have, you know, shells of fish and fossils down below and those different fissures, but shells of fish and animals that swim on top of the mountaintops. And he's carving all this. That's not from a local flood, brother. Mm-hmm. And then he's carving this. And over there in the land of Israel, he's carving a massive hill that's shaped just like a skull. It's perfect. Because that's where Christ is going to be crucified. On a mountain shaped like a skull that was shaped and carved by water during a flood. Mm-hmm. Amen. God did that. Resting on the same day that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Like in the days of Noah. You can walk with God in the days of Noah. You see, you Christians are good. What God has shown me, your righteousness, if you're believed, is depicted in Noah or Lot. God gives you righteousness by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. But don't you despise and disdain what Lot chose. Noah chose to walk with God. Amen? And the Bible says that he had a peace Lot never had. And you and I can have this. You can, you go through the scriptures and you look at this. The Bible says we're baptized with Jesus Christ. And you look at 17 and the Bible's the number of the flesh. And in John chapter 17, the Bible says that Jesus Christ has power over all flesh. And you look at Israel when they cross the Red Sea. And you look at Israel when they cross the Jordan River. And they eat manna. They have the Passover, and then they eat manna. Then there's no more manna on the 17th. It's all the resurrection. All of a sudden, you begin to recognize this isn't just a book. There's no more manna. That God is feeding you differently. Just like he fed Noah supernaturally. I don't know the day or the hour he's coming back, just like Noah. I know I'm in the ark. I'm sealed. At times I falter and fall, but I get back up again. Because here's the last thing I'm going to show you. Look at Genesis chapter number 7. That this grace that saves me because of my faith and I access, it really is no good if God isn't in it. It's just no good. In Genesis chapter number 7, verse 1. And the Lord God said unto Noah, what did he say? What did he say, brethren?
Come thou.
Come thou, fount. Come thou, and all thy house. Where? Here's a little toy animal. Voice control activated. Turn it around, crank it, turn around. Voice, it only understands come and go. Okay, turn it up. Go. Come. What did God tell Noah to do? What did he tell him to do? Come into the ark. And God's right there with you. When you stepped by faith, when you stepped by faith, believing on Jesus Christ, you stepped into the very secure, comforting life of Jesus Christ. Amen? And if you walk with him, you can discover what it means to rest, not just in the judgment of God that this ark brought you through, but the door that opens and sets you free. You can walk like you never did before, because the world around you, the Bible says, I'm crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. The time of Noah isn't to make you despondent and say, what a lousy, crummy world. What a rich, wealthy opportunity. Because it's all dead, amen? I'm free. I have life the world doesn't know. So do you. Do you know what Noah knew? He walked out of that ark free like he never was before. Brethren, this thing is true. Lord, I pray you would use this lesson to encourage us to recognize the world seems to be getting worse and more wicked, but it's just a sign of the certainty of the truth of the word and the soonness of Christ's return. Help us to realize, Lord, we can have peace when we don't know the answers, but we trust for grace to take us through the troubled world we live in. Peace, you promise us. Peace, I pray that every person in here would have, and simply trust you, shaping the world around all of us with the expectations you have for us to live in a way that pleases you. Help us on an individual basis. You're calling us all in different areas of life, Lord. But it's the same ark we're all in. It's the same ark we all step out of to glorify Jesus Christ. Help us to recognize it's really just a short opportunity to condemn the world, to save us by grace, and to rest with peace, knowing that Christ is coming back soon. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brethren.
Thank you.